It's a blessing to be here this morning. Appreciate the testimony, Aaron. It's a blessing to watch your lives and see what God has done for you. So what a blessing. And also the joy that I see coming forth from your life. So praise God for that. So this morning I want to title the message, "The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength." So may that joy of the Lord be our strength. So this message is probably more for Christians and the importance of having joy and to rejoice in the Lord. As I was thinking about preaching this morning, I was thinking about my early youth years, how I have pondered those years and enjoyed the pleasures of sin, even though they did not bring any joy, but rather condemnation. And I look back at the day that I surrendered, I repented and surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and come to know Him personally and serve Him, that it has been a source of joy through many trials, and also when we were excommunicated from the Amish Church, it sustained us through all of those things. Then I looked up, so what is joy? One definition is to experience great pleasure or delight, rejoice. A source or cause of delight. So should joy be a part of the Christian life? Yes, very much. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I was curious on how much it is listed in the word of the Lord. And let me just get situated here. So joy is listed 155 times. Rejoice, or a form of rejoicing, rejoiceth, is listed 285 times. And glad, or gladness, is listed 136 times. So, now I didn't think about, or I didn't look up as far as happy or happiness or anything in that nature, but it's also listed many times. So it is important to the Lord that we have His joy within us. So I'm going to read quite a few verses on joy. Start with Nehemiah 8:10. Ten to 12. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that was declared unto them. So that was interesting. A.W. Tozer comments on that. "We are missing the mark about Christian victory and the life of joy in our Savior. We ought to be standing straight and praising our God." I must agree with Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is the strength of His people. I do believe that the sad world is attracted to spiritual sunshine, the genuine thing that is. Then one more comment is, "But we are Christians. The Christians have every right to be the happiest people in the world." So Lord, help us. May we have that joy within us. Psalms 16, verse 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh is also, shall also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. But thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So in his presence, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And how much is fullness? It is a... May that be our testimony, that we have the fullness of joy within us. And one thing I did want to mention is... It's a privilege to have my dad and mom here this morning. So, blessings to you, and I want to bless you for what you have done in my life. So, blessings to you in that. In Psalms 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So he's saying, if you are upright in heart and righteous, shout for joy. Psalms 43:3-4. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. In Psalms 51, 9-12. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me in thy free spirit. The joy of God's salvation. In Psalms 126:1-3, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were light to them that dream. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Then I want to jump over to Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse 1-3. This is... foretelling of the birth of Christ. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation. When in the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has that light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice in when they divide the spoil. So people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. In Isaiah 35:1, 1 through 10. The wilderness and a solitary place shall be glad for them, and a desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with reverence, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb speak. For in the wilderness shall water break out, streams in the desert, and parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of the dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, their fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravens beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That sounds like a good place to be. Sorrow, they shall attain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The oil of glory, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven, for the spirit of heaviness. And Zephaniah 3:14 to 17. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away thy judgment, he has cast out thy enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day he shall say to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord God is mighty, and he will save. Praise God for that. Many of us have, actually all of us, has been in the kingdom of darkness. And many of us has come into the kingdom of light, where there is joy and peace forevermore. And I'll switch over to the New Testament. John 15, 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abode in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Again, the fullness of joy. The love that the Father has for us, and we are to continue in that love, which is the fullness of joy. Then John 16:19-24, is when he was telling his disciples that he's going to be taken away, he's going to be crucified. And then he says, verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said, why do you inquire among yourself of what I said? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have I asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 17, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Father, keep through thy own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So it's Christ's joy fulfilled in us. Then Romans 15, 10 to 12. And again he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and love him, all ye people. And again, as Cyrus says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles trust. Is that what I wanted? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we see here the fruit of the Spirit is joy is included in that. As the fruit of the Spirit. So if we are His, that joy should flow out of us. And then Hebrews 12:1-2 is for the joy that was set before Christ. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So when you run in a marathon, you don't see them running with all kinds of weight attached to them. But they run as lightly as possible. They cast off all weight. And here Paul is saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So likewise, as we run the race, this human race, the race to the finish line, which is when we see Christ face to face, let us cast off every weight, every sin that does so easy to beset us. Let us cast it off and run with patience. It will be worth it all. Then also in rejoicing as suffering as a Christian. James 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Then also 1 Peter 4:12-16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Very easy, right? Very easy to take it patiently when people revile you. But may we take it patiently and not be ashamed, but glorify God because of that suffering. And 1 John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which ye have heard, which ye have seen with our, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, that we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. Revelations 19, verse 6 through 9, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I heard as was the, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. In verse 9, and he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, For these are the true sayings of God. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Because that day is coming. We are to be glad and rejoice in him. A.W. Tozer puts it this way in another quote. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. In this day of universal apprehension, when men's hearts are failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth, we Christians are placed to display a happiness that is not of this world and to exhibit a tranquility that will be a little bit of heaven here below. All this takes for granted that sin has been dealt with by sincere repentance and through amendments of life. It assumes that we are walking in the light of truth, for true joy cannot be artificially induced. So he's saying we cannot artificially induce the joy, but rather it's a joy that's within that comes from knowing Christ, from being one of his. So that was interesting, a statement by a heart doctor. When you're joyful, your whole body benefits, especially your heart and your mind. In fact, research shows that joyful people have less chance of having a heart attack, have healthier blood pressure, lower cholesterol, weight management, and decreased stress levels. So that was a comment, an observation from a heart doctor that joyful people tend to have less heart problems or health problems. Maybe you're thinking, you don't know my story, and life has dealt harshly with you through health issues or other areas of life. I find it interesting in the Gospels that when Jesus sent the 12 disciples out and they came back rejoicing that even the devils were subject to him. But Jesus said, rejoice not at that, but rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So just thinking about that, we have something to rejoice about. If we are born again, if we are called one of God's children, we can rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And may that joy just come up within because of that. So may we be filled with that joy that comes from knowing Christ and being called his child. So in closing, I want to just say, I'm with you. I need this reminder that the joy of the Lord is my strength. May we walk in that. I'm going to close with John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Christ's joy might remain in us, and that our joy might be full, the fullness that Christ has for us. So I want to just close with that. Blessings to you this morning.